My granny said, I believe that was our name.
Well, it might not have been, but it sure sounded like it to me.
Won't you answer it, Long
John? Hello, jot them down, store.
Yeah.
Yes, this is Lyman Abner.
Now let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge.
Well, where's old Lum been all day, Abner?
I don't know, Grandpap. Frank Forster called a couple times, too. Said he tried to get Lum over home last night, but there weren't no answer.
Well, I don't blame Frank for wanting to get hold of Lum. After what Lum went and called him on the telephone.
No.
Called Frank a snake in the weeds and a double-crosser.
Yeah, well, Lum thought Frank was trying to get to be judge of that beauty contest. See, the women folks decided they wanted a bachelor to be the judge. And what they done was elect Lum.
I know all that.
But Lum didn't know that. He thought Frank had snuck in there to the meeting somehow or other and got himself elected. And that made Lum awful mad. You know, Lum and Frank has always been rivals amongst the women folks anyway.
Oh, I know. They're terrible.
Both of them tries to be the life of the party at a sociable or any kind of a going on. Just loves to impress the women folks.
Oh, that Frank Forster always tries to be the high mucky muck. Yeah. Worse than Lum when it comes to getting off snappy sands and catchy get-offs.
It's a close race.
No matter what it is, old Frank will always turn it into a joke. Makes a feller sick.
Just loves and admires to make the women folks laugh.
Reckon where's Lum's at, anyway?
Grandpap, I don't like to admit it, but I believe old Lum's hiding somewhere so Frank Forster can't find him.
Well, I wouldn't want to be called a snake in the weeds and a double-crosser right to my face over the telephone, either. And that's what Lum called him. I heard him. I'm standing right there where you're at now.
Well, Frank sounded awful mad when he called up here. But maybe he's just joking.
No, I believe we're standing a little to the left of where you're standing. Either that or a little to the right.
I explained to Frank how it was, but you can't tell how he's taking it.
No, I believe I'm standing just about where you're standing there now. I heard every word of it. Called him a snake in the weeds and a double-crosser.
Frank might just be taking the whole thing as a joke, you know. Might not just be acting mad.
Wait a second here. Wait a second. I couldn't have been standing there. I just come in the door. I must have been about 2 foot this side of the door.
Bound you, old Frank ain't mad at all. Just acting
mad. That's just where I was at. Just about 2 steps this side of the door.
Just acting mad.
That's where I was. Where'd you say Lum's at?
I don't know, Grandpa. Bound he's just laying low so he won't meet Frank Foster.
Well, he's got to have it out with him sometime.
Well, poor old Lum's a dad blame worried about things that he's more likely don't want to get no fist fights now, you know.
Yeah, he's got that mule derby race coming up.
Yeah.
And the pigeon-toed beauty contest to run off.
Huh.
And the mule aiming contest, too.
No.
I don't see how he keeps up with it all.
No.
I seen Dick Huddleston a while ago. He just swamped with mail over the mule aiming contest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Folks are writing him from all over the country with names for that mule.
Well, you can't blame some of the funniest names they're sending in.
Yeah.
He's showing me some of them.
Oh, I can't wait to read them.
Oh, I'd love to win that prize myself.
Huh?
Oh, that Kelvinator, that refrigerator they're giving away.
That is a beauty. A beauty.
Reckon how Lum come to pick out a Kelvinator refrigerator to give for a prize.
Well, he said he wanted to give the best, and he figured that was the best as far as he could figure out, because, see, they're the oldest makers of electric refrigerators that there is, you know, and he figured they ought to know.
Yes, sir, that's one of the best-looking spavin-legged refrigerators I ever seen.
Kelvinator.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
They started the name, even, I understand.
Yeah.
Say, what in the world's all these pies and cakes for? Are you starting a bakery here?
No, that's all stuff that different women folks have sent along. Trying to get on the good side of them, I reckon, so you'll favor them in a beauty contest.
Well, I don't know. Just plain bribes, ain't it?
Oh, I don't know.
That chocolate-covered bribe there looks mighty tasty. Believe I'll just sample a little chunk of it. Lum can't eat them all.
No, I wouldn't touch that, Grandpap. Lum might not want to access them.
Dad, blame it. I kind of knocked some of them chocolate cupcakes off the desk there.
Well, watch what you're doing, Grandpap.
Yeah, I'm getting awful clumsy lately. Well, I might as well eat these two here. Some of the frosting got knocked off in the fall.
Now, Grandpap, I wouldn't do that. Wait a minute. Lum's coming up out there.
Well, what's he doing with his arm in a sling? Reckon him and Frank's had it out already?
For the land sakes, I don't know. Hey, Lum, what's the matter with your arm?
You and Frank have it out with one another,
Lum? Did you break it, Lum?
No, it ain't broke.
Has Frank Foster been here?
No, he called a couple times, though. Sounded mad, too.
What'd you do to your arm, Lum?
Where in the world you been? Is your arm bad hurt?
Don't get so excited. I sprained it.
How?
Well, what difference does it make? I sprained it, and that's all there are to it.
Lum, Eddard, you never sprain your arm, no such a thing. I can tell when you're fibbing.
All right, all right. I'm just making off like it's sprained, so as if I meet Frank Foster, we won't have no argument.
Are you afeard of him, Lum? Dare, why don't you
I ain't afeard of him. I'm just afeard of what I'll do to him if he starts something.
Oh?
I'm just liable to tear him limb from limb, branch from branch, twig from twig. I don't know my own strength when I get mad. And if his other feller can get me mad, it's Frank Foster.
Yeah.
When I get riled up, I'm just 170 pounds of exploding muscles. A brute in human form.
Uh-huh.
Say, this caramel cake's good here, Lum. Why don't you fellas pitch in and try some of it?
Grandpap, I told you not to touch that.
What are you eating there, Grandpap? Where'd all this stuff come from, Abner?
Oh, different women folks that's going into the beauty contest sent it over. Some of them's invited you to dinner, too, and wants to do your laundry.
For land sakes. Grandpap, leave that stuff alone. Dad'd blame it anyway. Abner, pack up all that junk and send it back to him.
Grandpap.
Who made these little marble cakes? They're awful good.
Grandpap, Lum wants to send them back.
Too late. Whoever made these had just about lost their marbles.
Well, gentlemen, gentlemen. Hey, what's all the excitement in here? Lum, what's your arm doing in this sling? Did you run afoul of Frank Foster?
No, I never. Grandpap, put that... Oh, never mind. Can't send some back without sending it all. Go ahead, eat it, you want. Squire, I'm in the dad-blamedest mess I ever seen in my whole life.
Well, seems that things are about normal then. Thought something was wrong there for a second.
There's a whole lot of things wrong. I just now realize what a spot I'm in here. I believe Frank Foster deliberate went and got me chose judge of the beauty contest so as he could get every woman in town to hate and despise me, except one.
Which one is that, Mom?
Well, whichever one I choose, Miss Mule of Pine Ridge, the queen.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, there'd be a lot of jealousy on the part of the others. You know, women folks take these things seriously, Mom.
Now, look at that stuff they sent over to me. That shows you how anxious every one of them is to get chose Miss Mule.
Doggies, you reckon the rest of them will quit trading here at the store?
From the very minute I pick the beauty contest winner, the Jot 'em Down store will have just one customer, Miss Mule.
Oh, my.
The queen. Well, there's only one thing for me to do, sell my interest in the store and leave town.
Now, don't do nothing frantic now, Lum. We'll figure out something.
This sponge cake is nice.
Well, it's all the way out of every predicament, Lum.
Ain't no way out of this. And it's Frank Foster's fault, too. Planned the whole thing. That varmint, that double-crossing snake in the weed. Let me get this sling off my arm. I'm going after him right
now. Wait. Now, hold on a minute, Lum. I believe you're taking the wrong attitude.
Wrong attitude? After what he done to me? He's ruined me in this town. That's what he's done. Just plain ruined.
Well, now, Lum, sometimes it pays to be kind to your enemies. Well, I'm reminded of the parable of the wolves and the two hogs. It seems that hog number one and hog number two were mortal enemies. Well, one day a pack of wolves came to hog number one and said, we'd like to have you for our king. Well, of course, hog number one, being a vain hog, was delighted. But he got to thinking how dangerous it might be for a hog to be the king of the wolves. So, sticking his pride in his pocket, he called hog number two on the telephone. Hog number two, he said, I'm sorry for the way I've been treating you, he said, and I'd like to do something for you before one of us dies and it's too late. Well, he said, I've just been chose as king of the wolves. But I believe you're a bigger and better hog than I am, hog number two. So I'd like to transfer this job over to you. Well, hog number two accepted the job, got himself all dressed up as king and went out, and immediately got devoured up by the wolves. Don't know how I happened to bring that up.
Well, you've done it. You're looking at hog number one. Let me get to that phone here.
Now, what are you going to do?
Well, this is so good, it's a wonder I never thought of it myself.
I never thought it so good.
Hello, Frank. This is Lum Eddards. Frank, I'm sorrowful for what I called you yesterday and never meant to, but just to show you how much I actually think of you, I'd like to have you take the job as judge of the beauty contest. Good.